Welcome, Cheesehead Nation, to the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Your Green Bay Packers just beat the Minnesota Vikings 31-3. The Packers are tied atop the NFC North standings with a 7-3 record, tied with the Chicago Bears, who have a similar 7-3 record. But more at hand, the Packers getting the last laugh, I suppose, with Brett Favre. After losing to the old man twice last year, the Packers turned the tables, beat Brett Favre and the Vikings twice this year, both at home and on the road in the Metrodome, as they do today. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, as you've been all game long. Most of you have been joining us on the live blog. If you want to comment, feel free to tweet with the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through. Or feel free to just comment on the live blog, and our moderators will be approving comments. What we're going to be doing is recapping some of the statistics for the game, going over some of the scoring plays, and then we're turning it over to you and analyzing the game and just having conversation about where the Packers are, where they're headed. As I said earlier, the Packers winning 31-3. To recap the scoring, the Packers let the Vikings get on the board first. The only scoring play of the first quarter, Ryan Longwell hits a 24-yard field goal to go up 3-0. Second quarter, Packers finally start to get it together after a slow first quarter of the game. Get only, I think they had 12 yards or something in the first quarter. Might have even been less than that. Was it 8? Perhaps it was 8. But the Packers get on the board, tie it up with a Mason Crosby 42-yard field goal, tie it up 3-3. Minutes later, Packers take the lead behind a Greg Jennings 11-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers, go up on the Vikings 10-3, and then just before halftime, with 9 seconds left on the clock, James Jones, a 3-yard scoring strike from Aaron Rodgers, puts the Packers up 17-3. It would remain that way until halftime. In the third quarter, Packers extend their lead with a Greg Jennings 46-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. The extra point makes it 24-3. And then finally, in the fourth quarter, adding to the score, Greg Jennings once again for the third time in the game, getting his third touchdown, a 22-yard pass this time from Aaron Rodgers. Final score, Packers 31, Vikings 3. Going over some of the individual statistics for the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, after a slow start, ends up with completing 22 of 31 passes, 301 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, a 141.3 passer rating, sets a career high in passing touchdowns in a single game. Matt Flynn gets in at the end, throws one pass, completes it for 5 yards, completing, I believe, his first pass of the season. In the rushing department, Dimitri Nance leading the way for the Packers. 12 carries, 37 yards, 3.1 yard average. Brandon Jackson also getting the action, leading the team in carries, 14 carries, 28 yards, only a 2-yard average. Aaron Rodgers, couple nice scrambles, 3 carries, 21 yards, and Matt Flynn has 1 for 5. In the receiving department, Greg Jennings leading the way, 7 catches, 152 yards, 3 touchdowns, long of 47 yards. James Jones, 3 for 51, also gets into the scoring act with a touchdown of his own. Brandon Jackson, 4 for 38 yards. Donald Driver, showing no ill effects from his quad injury, 4 for 31. Jordy Nelson adds 3 catches for 20 yards. Andrew Corliss adds 1 for 14. And Donald Lee, 1 catch for 0 yards. That recaps the statistics, and now it's time to go over what this all means to the Green Bay Packers. If you want to call into the show, feel free. The phone number is area code 646-797-2909. 646-797-2909. And without any ado, without any time to really analyze, I'll look at the big picture and say the real challenges now begin. I mean, as nice as it is to get a victory over the division rival Minnesota Vikings and Brett Favre, as nice as that is, you know, the Vikings are still 3-7 on the season and not a very good team. A team mired in controversy, in fighting, as you saw on the sidelines. Brett Favre exchanging words with offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel. Some of the defensive backs on the Vikings exchanging words as well. Chris Cook, I believe. But the Packers now turn to Atlanta. 1 week from today, next Sunday. Arguably the best team in the NFC, have to play on the road in the George Dome. Not going to be an easy game at all. And here's where it really begins. After that, Packers later on take on one of the other good teams in the NFC, the New York Giants, one of the best defenses in the NFL later this season. Last game of the year, they take on the Chicago Bears, who they're tied atop the NFC North standings with. That's really, the job begins now. But I don't want to diminish what the Packers have done here. Fantastic win today. Certainly. I mean, this is the catharsis Packer fans have been waiting for a long, long time. Get back at Brett Favre, and all the Vikings for that matter, Ryan Longwell, you name it. Taking pride in watching Brad Childress flounder a team with no real direction. I'm sorry to say, but the Vikings are going to be perhaps years of rebuilding. Well, maybe I should take that back. I mean, as long as they have Adrian Peterson, they are going to have a ground game there in Minnesota. But as far as finding your franchise quarterback, I mean, Brett Favre has said he's done. Ryan Longwell has said he's done after the season. This is a team that is going to have some problems. I can't imagine any of those quarterbacks on the roster now for the Vikings are the answer. Webb? Oh, my goodness. Good luck to the Vikings. That's they've got their work out for them, cut out for them ahead of time. But the Packers looking good. One of the more telling team statistics was the 2-0 advantage in turnovers for the Packers today. I believe the last several weeks, the Packers have gone from a turnover margin in the negative area. I believe they were -2 or -1, perhaps as going back to the Jets game. And now they're +7 on the season. Really a dramatic turnaround, spearheaded by Dom Capers, where it's just started to come out today, I believe on the Packers Radio Network pregame show, that the Packers may have to make Dom Capers one of the highest paid coordinators in the NFL to keep him. And based upon the early returns through Dom Capers' short career in Green Bay, he would be worth it. I don't think you can understate what he's done to this defense. since replacing Bob Sanders to implement the 3-4 defense, to be number one in the NFL against the rush last year, to be the number one in scoring defense, which really is more impressive to me. But yes, the Dom Capers is doing fantastic. Packers forced 2 turnovers today. Tremont Williams getting an interception. Charles Woodson forcing a fumble recovered by A.J. Hawk. Fantastic, fantastic job by the defense, holding them only to 3 points. Vikings helping out as well, shooting themselves in the foot. I was dumbfounded when they took the 3 points off the board after the long Ryan Longwell field goal, 51 yards, I believe it was. And then they have a holding call, and they wiped those 3 points off the board. Packers Radio Network had gone to commercial. I think I even tweeted the score that the score was something like 24-6 at the time or whatever it was. And then I had to go back. I was kind of getting ready for the post-game show here and listening more on the radio than I was on TV at the point. Packers Radio Network goes to commercial. And not till they get back do we find out that the holding call takes those 3 points off the board. But that kind of, you know, just in a nutshell, that was the Vikings game today. Shooting themselves in the foot. Kind of their entire season, if you will. Taking a look at some of the tweets on the live blog. Packers official Twitter feed. 3 points allowed matches franchise record for fewest points allowed in Minnesota by Green Bay. Last time they did that, 1971. Just, again, more evidence of the fantastic job Dom Capers is doing here in Green Bay. Rupert comments, the Vikings mortgaged their future. The Packers just foreclosed. You gotta love it if you're a Packers fan. You just love that the Vikings had to give up a 3rd-round draft choice for Randy Moss. That's gone for really nothing. For the 3 games he played, or however many he played in Minnesota. Put all their eggs in one basket with Brett Favre. And now the Packers foreclosing on them. Illinois Pack fan comments, Dom is happy in Green Bay. He's going nowhere. But his contract is up after this year. Good point. Mike McCarthy says he would make him an NFL head coach if he ran a football team. Will there be suitors? I'm not sure. Dom Capers' track record as a head coach was nothing stellar in the NFL. John Rahor comments, dare I say McCarthy becoming a favorite for coach of the year? Possibly. He's certainly in the running. A tweet being picked up off the internet. Offstieg 2010 comments, Ted wins. Really going back to right here on Cheesehead TV, our own Alex Talich of Packers Lounge positing that question on Jason Wilde's radio show this week, Green and Gold Today. Aaron Nagler, our own columnist here on Cheesehead TV, saying that Thompson can declare victory, basically, after a win. More or less. And you'd have to say that the Packers got the last laugh. Vikings got the first one last year. That's for sure. Beating the Packers twice. Going into Lambeau winning. Going all the way to the NFC Championship game. But since that point, since basically the end of the NFC Championship game, overtime, when Brett Favre threw an interception, it's been all Green Bay from that point. They watched another soap opera unfold in Minnesota in the offseason. Will he or won't he play? And then they get to the regular season, and the Vikings tank. There's infighting. There's injuries. There's you name it. It's happened in Minnesota. A very good soap opera. It's made for stories galore, attention galore. You name it. It's happened. But no good press is coming out of it, though. Or very little. But I see in the live blog, talk is turning to Greg Jennings. Mex Pack comments, Rogers should buy Jennings a nice dinner tonight. Found in Idaho comments, Jennings finally had the game I wanted him to have. And Greg Jennings, biggest game of the season, by far. And really, turning it around. Since the beginning of the season, frustrated, showing his emotions to wide receivers coach Jimmy Robinson. Frustrated he's not getting the ball. Last three or four games into the season. And now ever since then. Pretty much the Packers' leading receiver every game. And really breaking out as of today with three touchdowns. Greg Jennings is a blue chip. After every game, I write my post on Cheesehead TV. Blue chips, red chips, and cow chips. Greg Jennings will be in the blue chip category. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Making the Vikings secondary look silly. They have a poor secondary in Minnesota. One of the worst in the NFL. And they showed their frustrations too. With Cook fighting with a safety, I believe. I forget his name. Not an expert on the Vikings. Thank goodness. Found in Idaho says Double D and Jones had a couple nice catches too. Absolutely. Greg Jennings leading the way, but Donald Driver really bouncing back from that quad injury that's kind of plagued him the past several weeks. Certainly the bye week probably helped him. Helped him recover. I know he had other things on his mind as well. The death of a dear friend. But he overcomes that. Adds, what did Driver have? 3-4 catches today. And James Jones. Also, just a handful of catches. But really setting up that one score by Greg Jennings. Long toss down the field. James Jones has the long catch of 39 yards. So, really good rebound by the Packers passing game today. Oh, the first quarter was ugly if you're a Packers fan. Those 8 total yards. Minnesota's dominating every statistic. You know, total yardage, third down conversions, time of possession. But that's all it really lasted was the first quarter. Packers dug their heels in the ground. Aaron Rodgers really rebounded, turned it around. After, you know, in the first quarter completing less than 50% of his passes and really looked out of it. You know, then he... All of a sudden, it just like clicked for him. Started finding the receivers open. Getting a little bit better protection. But also scrambling when he needed to as well. Getting a, you know, adding 21 yards on the ground was really nice. I think he converted a big first down in there. But really, fantastic job. And by all means, folks, the phone lines are open here. 646-797-2909. Give me a call. Let me know what you want to talk about. I'm sure there's people are out there glad that the Packers had beaten Brett Favre. And what does this mean for the Packers as they try to win the NFC North, currently tied with the Chicago Bears? And they really needed this win, the Packers did, to keep pace with the Bears. But also, I mean, you hope that that momentum is just building here. Now on a 4-game winning streak. And really, next week is battling for dominance of the NFC. There's every possibility in the world that next week is fighting for home field advantage in the playoffs. We'll take a phone call here on Cheesehead TV. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who is this?
Hey, Brian, it's Dale Zawada.
Dale Z, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing good, bro. I just I got a couple of things I wanted to say. First of all, the haters need to calm down. We were down 3-0, and people just lost their minds. As if they never watched a Green Bay Packers football game in their life.
Or any football game for that matter. You know, 3-0 in the first quarter.
It was ridiculous. You know, and then we scored a field goal. Then we scored a touchdown. And then a touchdown. And then another touchdown. People need to relax. And I wanted to say props to Sean Slocum. I enjoyed the kickoff strategy, not kicking to Harvin. That was awesome. I'm sure you liked it. You're a special teams guy. What do you think about that?
Really good. You know, they kind of mixed things. You know, they would kick it to him, and then they wouldn't. And even when they did kick it to him, or, you know, tried to pin him, things like that, it worked out. Percy Harvin had 4 kick returns for 69 yards, only a 17.3-yard average. So, really, good job there. Yeah, fantastic by Sean Slocum.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Also, and I called this in the pregame. I said, Sidney Rice is back. He's going to force it to him like he forced it to Randy Moss. He was targeted 10 times, Sidney Rice was. 10 times, 10 throws, only 3 receptions.
3 catches, yeah.
3. Suck it, Favre. last thought here, so I can get back to drinks. Matt Flynn, higher QB rating than Favre. Suck it, Favre. I love you, Brian.
Dale Z, thank you very much for calling in, and have a Miller Lite for me. Dale Z. So yeah, Sidney Rice, the Packers really bottled him up today. Dale Z said all there needs to be said. 10 targets, but only 3 catches. And the Packers secondary just getting the job done. Again, as they have all season long, this is nothing new. Tremont Williams, of course, coming up with the big interception. But also, Charles Woodson forcing the fumble, leading the team in tackles. Charles Woodson and Nick Collins tied for the team lead in tackles, 7 tackles apiece. Does show you a little bit that the Vikings were getting to the second and third levels, especially in the ground game with Adrian Peterson. But kind of a bend but don't break defense. And they stiffened up. Charles Woodson putting some pressure on Brett Favre on the blitz even. And bringing Nick Collins. Nick Collins, who never blitzes, had a couple. Put some pressure on Favre to get the ball out a little early. Didn't hit him or anything. But no, the secondary, solid job, as always. Sam Shields just being your solid nickel corner, as he has all season long. You know, he gave up the one long pass, by all means. You know, defensive backs are not infallible. Sam Shields is not going to, you know, give up 0 receptions to whoever he's guarding all season long. Don't expect that. But again, it's bend but don't break. You give up the long reception, and then the Packers hold them to a field goal. Keep them out of the end zone. Charlie Peppera being as solid as he has all season long. Atari Bigby getting his playing time. I'm not sure why. I don't agree with the rotating that they're doing there in the secondary at the strong safety spot. But Atari Bigby didn't do anything to... He himself did anything noteworthy in a negative fashion. So, no, props goes to the secondary, as it has been all season long. One of the reasons the Packers' defense is performing so well. And the props are also coming in here on the live blog for A.J. Hawk. Found in Idaho says, I thought A.J. Hawk looked good today. Max Pack says Hawk had a good game. And it really is easy on A.J. Hawk. This isn't too, you know, demoralize E.J. Hawk's performance today. But wow, it is easy for him when that defensive line in front of him is healthy. You know, go back to the last Vikings game. Go back to week 7? When the Packers were without the services of Ryan Pickett, and then Cullen Jenkins strains his calf, was it, before the game, without the services of both of those. And at that time, the Packers didn't have Howard Green on the roster either. I mean, that's a big difference. I mean, it was amazing. The Packers go play their 3-4 base defense, and there it is, right staring right in front of Adrian Peterson. You got B.J. Raji, you got Howard Green, you got Ryan Pickett. And Clay Matthews, who's not 300 pounds, but a beast in his own right. Who wants to run against that? You gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. That's another, you know, fantastic reason the Packers are defenses is playing as well as they are. And they don't get credit. I mean, the defensive line wasn't out there getting sacks, but they were gobbling up blockers. They're clearing lanes for guys like A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop to make plays. And that's what's getting done. I mean, that's why A.J. Hawk looked good today. And good job by A.J. Hawk. Otherwise, he did well in pass coverage too. Recovered that fumble of the Charles Woodson strip. Aaron Nagler says the unsung hero today, Tim Mastay, who kept the Vikings offense on a long field early while the offense struggled. Well, with the exception of that one punt, I would agree. No, that, and really, you might want to credit more than Tim Mastay. Tim Mastay did fine except for the one punt. But really, I mean, look at Jared Bush getting downfield and forcing some fair catches. I'm sorry, folks, I know everybody hates Jared Bush, but he's having the best year of his career, and he's a monster on special teams. Jared Bush, it took, what, 5 years? 4 or 5 years? But he's finally come around. He's finally come around. Come playoff time, the Packers have to declare, they pretty much declare captains for the entire playoffs. You know, right now during the regular season, you know, the guys who go out for the coin flip, captains rotate every game. Well, when the playoffs roll around, it's, you know, 6 captains, 2 for offense, 2 for defense, 2 for special teams, and they're there for the remainder of the playoffs from the wild card to the Super Bowl, I believe. And Jared Bush may be one of the captains. You know, just imagine this. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the Packers advance to the Super Bowl, and there he is, Jared Bush, going out for the coin flip of the Super Bowl. I just, after so many years of seeing Jared Bush struggle, it's nice to see him. Nice to see him do well. If you want to talk, call into the show. Come on, folks, 646-797-2909. Give me a call. Tell me what you think. I see Deepak commenting, Dimitri Nance looked fairly good today. Dimitri Nance getting into the action. What took so long? All of a sudden, I just find it ironic, the irony here. It took until James Starks was activated to actually use Dimitri Nance. I'm not sure the reasoning there. I'm not sure why, like, what it was, because, I mean, James Starks wasn't, like, active today, but he was on the 53-man roster, that it took that to happen in order to use Dimitri Nance. And hopefully we'll get some more opinions on that as we take phone calls. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV post-game show. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, Brian, it's Jersey Al here.
Jersey Al Bracco, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Brian, obviously.
Very good.
Could you have ever expected this?
I a year ago, no. I mean, the way things were going, you know, if you would have just asked me a week ago, maybe I could believe this would have happened. But had you asked me, like, at last season, the off season, I couldn't imagine this would have played out this way, no.
Yeah, well, I'd say even last week I would have had a hard time believing 31-3 in Minnesota, but, wow, what a great day, huh?
Yes, you know, yeah, I mean, I certainly didn't believe that they would win by 28 points. I think I even said earlier in the week a one-point win wouldn't surprise me.
Right.
But, yeah, 28 points is impressive, and the defense now for four straight weeks, basically, has been lights out.
Yeah. The one thing that really pleases me the most is, you know, on Cheeseheaded Radio last week, I was looking for the Packers to make a statement in this game, you
mm-hmm.
know, and if they get a lead, to not just get conservative and look to protect the lead,
mm-hmm.
and they did that today. You know, they stomped on their throat, so that was good to see.
Yeah, they really kept the pedal to the metal, really kept pushing the ball downfield. I mean, they kept going to Greg Jennings time after time and found him deep, and that was good to see from an offensive perspective.
Yeah, without a doubt. What was, do you have a key play of the game or that you can think of? Or?
Oh, any one of those Greg Jennings touchdowns. you could really you just pick one. Pick one out of a hat.
Nobody.
Yeah. I'd have to go back and think about it a little bit, perhaps,
as far as a
turning point, maybe.
I have one because I've thought of it, obviously. I've thought about it.
Yeah.
For me, it was the Rodgers run on third down in the first series of the second half where he took off and got the first down. And from that point on, I thought that was the watershed moment of the game.
Oh, especially for Aaron Rodgers as an individual as well. It seemed like with that play, all of a sudden he went from, you know, being an also-ran to, you know, really turning it around.
Very good point. You know, I was a little critical of him in the first half on that sack by Jared Allen, where I thought he should have taken off when he had the opportunity. Instead, he just kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And you know, but he definitely did the right thing on that play in the second half. And I think you make a good point. It was a big change, not just for the team, but for him as well. So, great day anyway. I don't want to tie up your line all day, but that's all I had.
It's great to hear from you, Al. Thanks for calling, and enjoy the win.
All right, great job as always, Brian. Take care.
Take care. That frees up a phone line if you want to call in. 646-797-2909. And we have a phone call right now. Hello, you are on the Cheesehead TV post-game show. Who do we have joining us?
This is Rupert.
Rupert, good to hear your voice.
Yeah, nice to talk to you, Brian.
Same here. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to, you know, obviously call in and echo my sentiments on what a huge win this was.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to say is how Aaron Rodgers stepped it up in the second quarter. I mean, he came out, let's face it, he looked pretty terrible in the first quarter today. You know, one play, I just about died. He stood there forever, could have ran it, could have thrown it, did nothing, and took a sack.
I know that exact play you're talking about, and at that point, I think that was the low point for the Packers. That was the valley, And people at that point were wondering, oh my goodness, is this what it's going to be like all game long? But no, since then, and he goes and scrambles for that first down on the next possession, and things turned around. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just, he's totally like the little brother that just got kicked for the last 3 years and finally completely, totally just took enough. And, you know, look at his final numbers. Subtract the first quarter. My God, it's about perfect.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, literally, take out that first quarter, and his passer rating just might be perfect. I mean, he finished with a passer rating of 130 today, and I think 150-something is perfect. So, yeah, I mean, really fantastic job.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple other quick things I wanted to say, and I'll get off the phone. Hopefully someone else will call in. Tremont Williams, he's not in the Pro Bowl. I mean, the way he cut in on that interception, he just crushed. Who was it? Was that Peterson? No, he hit somebody and absolutely just put them on their back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was great. The Vikings just do not have a D-back that can cover Greg Jennings, period. I mean, I think when Greg Jennings realizes he's better than someone, he's great. You remember Dre Bly when he was with the Lions? Every time we played the Lions, he just completely, totally smoked Dre Bly. And then who was covering him in the Broncos game in 07? I think we won in overtime. Dre Bly. Dre Bly can't cover him. And the Vikings have no answer for Greg Jennings. It's true.
You're preaching to the choir. I mean, Greg Jennings, especially the past several weeks, has really stepped it up, and he's now back in the running as one of the premier elite receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. And the best part of the day, maybe, no fullback dives to John Coon. And with that, I'll get off the phone, man. You do a heck of a job on the post game and everything else, Brian. Take care, man. Good talking.
Yeah, fantastic, Rupert. Thanks for calling. Rupert, hearing his voice for the first time. Glad to hear it. I've been seeing Rupert comment on the live blog for years. John Coon didn't have a single carry today. It's kind of interesting. I mean, it's not like I don't want to see John Coon carry the football. I just don't want to see it happen 10 times a game. Not even 8 times a game, you know. Keep John Coon to 2-3 carries a game, you know, perhaps a short yardage dive, you know, 3rd and 1, something like that, where they need to grind out a first down. But they really found out Dimitri Nance can do that. They found out that Dimitri Nance, he's a grinder. He's not going to make anybody miss. I'm going to take a phone call here. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, Carver, it's Thaddeus. How are you?
Very good, Thaddeus. Nice to hear you. Checking in from New York.
Yeah. Give me a second. There's a train I'm about to pass by. But I wanted to talk about the defense. I have a train outside my house.
I don't hear it, so I think you're okay.
Oh, okay. Okay, fine. That's good. But the defense, Charles Woodson, everyone's talking about Tremont Williams, and he's really good. But, I mean, like, everyone's saying Woodson maybe lost a step or so, but Charles Woodson is amazing. I don't know.
No, he's fantastic.
I know Clay Matthews is like, yeah.
Charles Woodson, people got on him for committing a couple penalties early in the season. But, I mean, really, that's the only thing you could have ever complained about Charles Woodson. I mean, aside from the, you know, a couple games where he might have had a handful of penalties, I mean, there's nothing to say that he's slow to step or anything like that. He is a tackling monster. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Yeah, I don't remember his run defense being this good last year, but this year it seems like he's right on the ball whenever there's a run play. He's just everywhere. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been good against the run, but you're right, it seems like it has stepped up this year. It certainly has stepped up.
Yeah.
You know, last year he was probably more known for his job in the passing game, and, you know, he had so many interceptions last year and took a couple to the house.
Yeah.
But, yeah, literally today he went and tripped up, not tripped him up, but made a nice tackle on Percy Harvin on a a reverse, and really just, you know, good job.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at him on the field, though, because he always looks so undersized, and then he can just take down anyone. Like, he doesn't really have an issue doing that.
Yeah, I mean...
somehow knows how to...
Go ahead.
And the strip, too. That strip. Oh, my God. I screamed.
Yeah. Size...
with that club arm and just smacks the ball.
Size doesn't matter, really. I mean, if you are tough... you're willing to stick your nose into places it maybe shouldn't be, and you're fast enough to make up for some of your limitations in size. Yeah, it's amazing how that it can be negated, if you will. And Charles Woodson does it. He blitzes like a linebacker, and one of the most versatile players in the NFL.
Yeah, if Hawk blitzed like Woodson, Hawk would be, we wouldn't be having this talk about Hawk. But I mean, I do want to give him credit for this game. He had that one play where he got that tackle for a loss.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, that's the Hawk we want.
Yeah.
He had that one play where he just sort of made a move.
That looked like a first rounder on that play, didn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yep. Exactly. The defense was great. The defensive line was amazing. I don't know if it's just Howard Green picking everyone up. Like, everyone else is rejuvenated now, but the defensive line looks unstoppable.
Yes.
They're in the backfield, they're not getting stood up anymore. You know, they're getting penetration even on three-man rushes. It's, I don't know what happened. It's just, you know, we're bringing four- and five-man blitzes. You know, Clay Matthews is out of control. Just out of control. But I love the defense. I mean, I love my offense. I do. I'm a big Aaron Rodgers fan, you know, big Jennings fan, but I look forward to defense now because we do stuff.
Yeah, it's the again the praise is effusive here for Dom Capers. What he's done, the creativity he brings, it just really you're excited to watch the defense. You want to see who's blitzing next and who's going to create a turnover. It really you look forward to that.
Yeah, and I guess before I go, just a big I guess plus one to Nance. Because he looked good at the end. I know it was garbage time. But, I mean, it's good to see we have, you know, maybe we can stop giving Kuhn so many runs. You know, we can sort of get Nance and maybe Starks at the end of the year, you know. But seeing Nance and Jackson maybe try it out for a bit, I think that'll work out.
Yeah. Fantastic stuff, Thaddeus. Take care.
Okay, catch you guys later. Bye.
Yeah, see ya. Dimitri Nance, no, I mean... you know, it was garbage time at the end, but Dimitri Nance had a first down conversion early in the game, in the first half as well, when they gave him just a carry or two. And really, yeah, I mean, it was a nice development to see Dimitri Nance kind of come out of nowhere. Now, what this means for James Starks, I'm not sure. You have to think now that maybe James Starks would be relegated to the bench for perhaps the rest of the season, barring injury. I mean, there's a nice, how do you say it, a nice give and take with Brandon Jackson and Dimitri Nance. Brandon Jackson probably having the better speed. Certainly not a shifty runner, Brandon Jackson isn't. But quicker. And then you got Dimitri Nance, who can bang quite a bit, as we saw today. I didn't really know what the Packers had in Dimitri Nance until I saw him get a chance today. Get a dozen carries or so. Really can bang. Nance isn't going to be shifty either. But fantastic development. And Thaddeus says, and I absolutely agree, with defense and being excited to watch it, and it's again Dom Capers, the creativity he brings makes you excited to watch defense. I'm I'm a defensive guy myself, no matter what. I used to be a safety, so I've always kind of been a little bit more interested in the defensive side of the ball as compared to offense. Not that I love me some offense as well, but watching, guys like Tremont Williams and Charles Woodson really do their thing out there, and Clay Matthews, it is a thing of beauty to watch Tremont Williams. Maybe people can help me on the live blog. I forget who that was too that he put on his back, but that was textbook right there. Charles Woodson, I'm sorry, Tremont Williams coming up, wrapping up, driving the shoulder, literally lifting the receiver up and putting him on his back. And, there's so much talk in the NFL about helmet-to-helmet hits and defenseless receivers, but, I mean, that was a thing of beauty. A textbook, you can't diagram it any better of what you want to do as a cornerback. You got kids? Go show them a video of that play many times. How to Tackle by Tremont Williams. Tremont, as we... Jersey L says that was Lewis. I think I tweeted earlier. It's just Tremont. He doesn't need a nickname. Tremont Williams is a... Tremont is a Brazilian soccer player. From now on, we don't even need the Williams. He's just Tremont. Tremont, you know who he is. If somebody says Tremont, it's a one-word name, like... You say who Prince is. Everybody knows who Prince is. It's same thing with Tremont. We don't even need to. We're going to get rid of Williams. In fact, they should put Tremont on the back of his jersey. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Let's start that. Let's get that going. Tremont on the back of the jersey instead of Williams. Fantastic. Oppie says, is Capers that creative, or have we been desensitized by the utterly predictable, inflexible defenses of the Jim Bates match scheme as ran by Bates and then Sanders and Bob Sloak's garbage as well? I think he is. I personally think Capers is creative, and maybe that's I'm just deprived in Green Bay. I personally don't watch a ton of football outside the Packers. I mean, certainly I watch my football just like anybody else, but as far as the in and outs, I suppose I haven't, been treated to the Buddy Ryan days of the Chicago Bears. I was quite young when those years happened as far as other creative defenses in the NFL, but... if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, this is as creative a defense that's come along in a long time. Certainly the 96 Super Bowl year with Jim Bates there, or not Bates, what's his name? I'm having brain freeze here, but Shurmur, Fritz Shurmur. Effective, no doubt. And... this is by far the best defense since that time. And maybe somebody on the live blog can look this up as well. What are the Packers, what is their average points given up per game now this season? I knew they were number one coming into this game, and here they only let the Vikings score 3 points today. I mean, it's got to be a dozen points a game they're giving up now or so. So, yeah, I can't talk enough about the defense. I don't have enough superlatives in my mouth, in my brain, to say any more about the job Dom Capers is doing. Illinois Pack fan says Fritz Shurmur had Reggie. And true, but Dom Capers has Charles Woodson. And Clay Matthews, you want to talk about studs. By all means, I think, Reggie White has a special place in Green Bay Packers lore and NFL Hall of Famer as well. But I definitely think, you know, down the road, Charles Woodson is a Hall of Famer as well. I think if he retired today, Charles Woodson is in the NFL Hall of Fame. And I mean, it's too early to say that about Clay Matthews, but it's possible. We got a couple differing opinions here on what the Packers are giving up, 10.6 or 14.6. I see two tweets to somebody saying 15.9 per game. Come on, somebody out there, get out your calculator, get it right. I see two tweets, though, at 14.6. That must be the right number. We got two people hitting that exact. But, 14.6, averaging basically giving up two touchdowns a game. You're going to win a lot of football games giving up only two touchdowns. I mean, that's basically, if the offense can score two touchdowns and a field goal, then you win on average. Packers on Reddit says, "Hey Brian, don't know if you talked about this, but isn't it crazy how few penalties the Packers have committed this year?" I tweeted that sometime in the fourth quarter, I believe. I was as critical as anyone. You can go back through the archives of Cheesehead TV, and I wrote after the Bears game when the Packers had whatever at a team record 19 penalties or 18 or however many it was, and just ridiculous. And what that game showed me was that nothing was changing. In Mike McCarthy's tenure, the Packers had pretty much been top five in the NFL in penalties every season. In Mike McCarthy's tenure, I mean, the common denominator was Mike McCarthy. But since that time, since the 18 penalty performance, it's changed dramatically. You know, there might have been a penalty, you know, a performance or two in there that was maybe a little bit high against the Redskins, perhaps. But I mean, one today? Are you kidding me? That's great. The change since the Chicago game has been marked and duly noted, if you will. Yes, night and day. And it's a huge reason the Packers are winning as well. And it's probably not being given enough credit. Illinois Pack fan tweets, "The Packers came in today second in points allowed behind the Bears, per the NFL Network." Yeah, the Bears might have gone ahead of them with their performance on Thursday against the Dolphins, perhaps. So, but I mean, regardless of where they rank or how many points they're giving up, you really can't say anything bad about the defense, especially the past several weeks. Seemingly, I mean, it really seemed to turn the tide in the Jets game. All of a sudden, at that point, I don't know, is it Howard Green having that much of an impact? I mean, that's where Green came in that game and played. But yeah, it's certainly been good. But, I mean, it's just good all around for the Packers. Everybody's contributing. Everybody's on the defense is adding to the whole that what has been a good performance this season. I'm just trying to look at some of the other team statistics here as we wrap it up here on Cheesehead TV. One last point here, perhaps. Third down conversions today. Packers go 8 of 15 on third downs today. which continues kind of a trend for them. You know, you go back to last week in the Dallas Cowboys games, or maybe not last week, the last game the Packers had, when they really started to turn it around. Today they complete over 50% of their third downs, or convert over 50%. And you compare that to what the Vikings did. Vikings go 4 of 13 on third downs today, and 0 of 2 on fourth downs. Packers as well, they were 0-1 on fourth downs, but I mean, you can throw that out the window. That was in the fourth quarter with less than a minute remaining, as they just gave up and gave the ball back to the Vikings, you know, up by 28 points, and they didn't really care. So the trend continues for the Green Bay Packers as far as third down conversions go. Really good job by Aaron Rodgers again. The big reason behind that, you know, coming back from, a poor first quarter perhaps today and turning it around. But really keeping up those third downs, converting them, and bucking the trend that had been the Green Bay Packers early in the season, when they were one of the worst teams on third down in the NFL after being so good at it last year. You know, Aaron Rodgers having, being the best third down quarterback in the NFL last year in terms of passer rating. And it was disappointing to see it change this season. But it's coming. It's coming, and it's continued today. Illinois Pack fan tweeting some of the injuries today. Big B hurt his hammy, and Anthony Smith hurt his ankle. Good thing for the Packers, they have a lot of depth at safety now, with Charlie Peppra playing so well, that those aren't really going to be too... Those aren't going to hurt the Packers all that much. And I would assume that maybe those injuries aren't season-ending to begin with. But yeah, I mean, with Charlie Peppra and Jared Bush providing depth at the very least, you know, the Packers are in pretty good shape at the safety position. And I don't know that... I don't know the severity of those injuries, and we will wait to find that out. But, yeah, I mean, as we wrap it up here shortly, next week, Packers go on the road to face the Falcons, and now it really begins. The Packers are probably a playoff team this year, no matter what happens. I think there's enough, you know, winnable games from here on out that even if they, I'm not saying they are, but even if they played poorly from here on out, they could still make the playoffs. But we will find out where they are in the hierarchy of the NFC with games against the Falcons, the Giants, and the Bears yet to go. And as I was saying earlier, this is really, next week could be the battle for home field advantage throughout the playoffs. The Packers win, they're going to be hailed as definitely the best team in the NFC. And really, I mean, you're looking at NFC Championship game, possibly, you know, the right to host that. And it's going to be big next weekend. Thanks everyone for joining us today. Hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving week coming up here. Love Thanksgiving. That's one of my favorite holidays. Football on TV, hunting, you name it. Just gorging on plenty of good food, and a great time of year. Hope everybody enjoys that. Good luck to any of the hunters in the audience. Hope you got your buck already, or will sometime this week. And from everybody here at Cheesehead TV, thanks for watching today. From our producer, Corey Benke, working behind the scenes. Moderator, Jamie Jors, Alex Talich at the Packers Lounge. Aaron Nagler on our live vlog earlier today. And I'm Brian Caribou, and thanks for joining us, folks. Packers now in the driver's seat, tied with Chicago Bears, top the NFC North. Take care, everyone, and we'll see you later this week on Cheesehead TV.